Our God is good, and we do have so much to be thankful for, so much to celebrate this morning. And I really want to thank all the people who contributed to this morning's service. There are only five of us here in the building, but so many people sent in photos and had Ben and Caleb and Jaden all doing video editing this week to have Roy and Jenny and Asiri and Windia. And we're going to see a few more faces after the sermon as well. But yeah, it's just been great to see so many people contributing and sharing their story of what God has been doing. I love that we opened the service today with Blessed Be Your Name, because that's what this year's kind of been like, hasn't it? God has given, God's taken away, and yet we still bless His name for all that He's done. This wasn't how it was supposed to go. This wasn't what we dreamed about. This wasn't what we planned. Now, how would you finish the sentence, "I was supposed to"? Maybe I was supposed to be married, to have kids by now. I was supposed to have finished uni, to have a job by now. I was supposed to have retired by now. I was supposed to know what I was doing with my life by now. I was supposed to be debt-free, to be happy, to be healthy, to be settled, to be successful. I was supposed to... We make our plans. We have our dreams. We know what was supposed to happen. But life doesn't always go to plan. Dreams don't become reality. What was supposed, hoped, even presumed, isn't proved true. We know that fairy tales aren't real, and yet we still crave, maybe even assume, that happily ever after is coming. Just how we planned it. But 2020 has not gone how we planned. As individuals, as a church, as a society, this isn't how it was supposed to go. At the start of the year, everyone was talking about their 2020 visions, and I wonder how they're going now, those New Year's resolutions. Hopes for relationships, study and work, travel and health. As a church, there were ministries that we had planned to grow, visions we had for what was to come. I planned a series called A New Place, wanting to prepare us for a new season that we were heading into as a church. But this wasn't what I had imagined. 2020 was supposed to be the year of clarity, 2020 vision. Everyone was saying that. It's all about clarity. But it's felt more like chaos. So what do we do when plans don't go to plan? Because what we'd like is control. We like to know what's coming, to plan our own destiny and then achieve it in our timing. We make plans, but we're not really in control of them. If 2020 has taught us anything, it's that many things in our world, in our lives, are dictated by people, events, and circumstances that are out of our control. Our plans rarely go to plan. They change, they fail, or simply fade away. The Bible is full of stories of mislaid plans, failed dreams, and things that were supposed to happen. Joseph had a dream that was supposed to have him as king, but instead landed him in a ditch and sold into slavery. After walking through the Red Sea, the Israelites were supposed to walk into the Promised Land, but what followed was 40 years of wilderness wandering. The exile was supposed to end. Jerusalem was supposed to be rebuilt. The Messiah was supposed to come. Mary was supposed to marry Joseph and live a normal life, but a message from an angel changed all that. Lazarus was sick, but Jesus was coming. He was supposed to be healed, but it didn't go how his sisters planned. Paul was supposed to take the gospel to the nations, but he faced beatings and prison, shipwreck and hunger. Plans changed. Plans failed. Plans faded away. So what do we do when things don't go to plan? We could turn to any of these stories that I just mentioned before, but I want to spend a couple of minutes in John 11 with the story of Lazarus. Lazarus was dying, and so his sisters sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is sick." Their trust was in the right place. Lazarus is sick, Jesus can heal. Their heart was in the right place. Jesus loves us, he will come. It was a good plan. When he hears the news, Jesus says, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." And so we expect Jesus to jump up and leave right away, but he stayed where he was 2 more days. And while he stays there, Lazarus passes away. Jesus, knowing this, tells the disciples with him, "Lazarus is dead, and for your sake I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe, but let us go to him." When Jesus arrives, he's confronted by each sister individually. Martha ran out to meet him and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Mary fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." They'd lost control of the plan, and like us, they began to question God's presence. If God were here, he would have done something. When we lose control, we question God's presence. And then Jesus saw Mary's tears and the people mourning. They'd lost all hope. They thought that this was the end. And the natural implication, the thought in the back of their minds, the question that's implicit in the text is, did Jesus really love them? Because he didn't come sooner. He didn't heal him. He was too late. Well, when we lose hope, we question God's love. But the story answers the question as soon as it implies it. When Jesus went to the tomb, he wept. And the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But couldn't he have been there? Some ask. Couldn't he have been here? Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? As Jesus approaches the tomb, he tells them to take away the stone, and Martha interjects, "Lazarus has been dead for days. It's going to smell." But Jesus has a different view of things. When we lose perspective, we question God's plan. Jesus says to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" Now, they're so worried about the stench, they almost missed God's plan. Jesus called out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." And the dead man walked out of the tomb. They question his timing, his commitment, his actions. We do the same. When we lose control, we question God's presence. When we lose hope, we question God's love. When we lose perspective, we question God's plan. And it's reasonable. I get it. I've done it. It's good to ask these questions because we're dealing with real hopes and dreams, real emotional investment, real people. And so our reactions are entirely understandable, and they can even be a positive thing. Faith doesn't mean that we don't ask any questions. Hope doesn't mean that we're always optimistic. So what do we do when plans don't go to plan? Well, I had this idea that we'd show a video today of people telling their stories from the past and sharing their heart for the future of our church. It was a nice plan. Not everything goes to plan, though. I didn't get any responses. No one sent in any videos. But it's okay, because that failure gave me another illustration for the sermon, when plans don't go to plan. So we found other ways to do the same thing, people sharing their photos through the interviews and the slideshow as well. And so today we are celebrating what God has done and where he's leading us. We're celebrating 49 years as a Baptist church. We were talking about this with our girls during the week, because it was Piper's birthday on Thursday, so happy birthday, Piper. And I said that church was having a birthday this Sunday. And Piper replied, "It's pretty weird for a building to have a birthday." And she's right. We're not celebrating a birthday. We're not celebrating a building's birthday, although we can be thankful for God's provision here. We're celebrating the family, the community, the gathering of God's people. So many stories, so many people, so many plans. And part of the reason for having this special service today, two congregations together, is to remind ourselves of our history, to tell the story of God's faithfulness. And some have been here for 50 years, and others have joined us during the pandemic. Now, it was great to see John McLean playing piano for Songs That Bless Your Heart a couple of weeks ago. He's been here from the start, and he's still serving now. It was so encouraging to hear from Roy and Jenny before, because they've followed God's call to and from Beaky over the years. So encouraging to hear how Windia and Assyria have been loved and supported by our community, and now they're discipling the next generation. We've all got a story of why we're here and what God is doing in us and what he's doing through us. Over the last 49 years, not every plan has gone as we have hoped. Not every idea, not every ministry, not every vision has come to life. So what do we do when plans don't go to plan? Well, today is somewhat of an example of what to do. To look back and look forward. To borrow from Eugene Peterson, we need the strength to stand and the willingness to leap. Strength to stand, willingness to leap. We look back and we have strength to stand. We look forward with the willingness to leap. Our history is important. Our collective memory helps us evaluate where we are, what we're going to do. And with the Bible in our hands, we have thousands of years of collective history, God's people throughout the generations. And we need more data. We need more data than our own experience can give us. Because in the moment, when things fail, we can lose control and we can lose hope. It's kind of like we jump into season 16 of Grey's Anatomy, a TV show. I've actually watched them all, but just imagine that you jump into season 16 and you watch 5 minutes and you conclude, "I know it all." You make judgments on all of the characters. But there's a history there. And as Christians, we've got more than just our 5 minutes. We've got a rich history to inspire us and encourage us. As Eugene Peterson puts it, a Christian with David in their bones, Jeremiah in their bloodstream, Paul in their fingertips, and Christ in their heart will know how much and how little value to put on their own momentary feelings and the experience of the past week. Now, that was written in 1980, and isn't that a message for us in 2020? We look back, and we have strength to stand in today. When our plans haven't gone to plan, when our supposed to's haven't materialized. History tells us that God is faithful and true. That even when things that were meant for evil Well, God can use them for good. History tells us that God works for the good of those who love him, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion. We stand in that history, in the truth of God's word, in the victory that we have through Christ. So when the to-do list keeps piling up, when it feels like we're taking backward steps in life, when our dreams fall apart, we look back to the history of God's people, to the story of God's faithfulness to our church. We look back to our own stories of the way that God has been at work. When plans don't go to plan, we look back and we look forward with the willingness to leap. Because our history is not the good old times that we just keep replaying. No, it's the story that gives us the confidence to keep moving, the willingness to try new initiatives, to plant new churches, to change and transform and adapt. The willingness to leap is what will help us move forward when plans don't go to plan. God's ways are not ours. His plans are bigger and bolder than we can imagine. We need to see the world, see our lives, see our church from his perspective. I love the story of Elisha in 2 Kings 6. The Arameans, they were at war with the Israelites, but the prophet Elisha was anticipating the enemy's moves because he's a prophet. And when the king of Aram heard about this, he sent his army to capture Elisha. They went by night and they surrounded the city where he was staying. Elisha's servant wakes up the next morning, sees the Aramean soldiers all around, and he's ready to lose it. But Elisha says, "What's the problem? We've got more soldiers than they do." And the servant kind of looks at him blankly, like, "How do you figure that?" Well, do you know what Elisha prayed? He said, "Open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see." Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around. There's so much more happening than we can see. We can't see things as they really are. There's a bigger picture, a more glorious reality, an amazing future for us. We just need to be willing to take the leap. So what is it that's holding you back or holding us back from seeing God's plan? Why not make Elisha's prayer our prayer? "Lord, open our eyes that we may see." God is the God of revelation, the one who reveals, the one who speaks, the one who leads and guides his people. So what have we got to be afraid of? In the coming months and years, the goal is not to get back to normal. I'm sick of hearing that. I'm sick of saying it myself. No, the goal, the vision God has for us in our lives and as a church, is to move forward with purpose. Father, open our eyes to see. Fill our hearts with faith. When plans don't go to plan, give us the strength to stand. Give us the willingness to leap. Let's pray together. Father, would you give us your vision for our lives, for our church, for our world? Would you help us to see what you see? And God, would we be encouraged as we look back to all that you've done in the past? Would that give us strength for today? And Lord, would you fill us with the boldness to go where it is you call? That we would trust you, and so from there, from that place, that we would be willing to leap out in faith, to go where it is where you lead us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We've written a little bit of a prayer for our church, and we've asked a few people to pray it over us this morning. So I encourage you to join in your hearts and make this your prayer for our church this morning.
Gracious, loving Heavenly Father.
Gracious, loving Heavenly Father.
Gracious, loving Heavenly Father.
Gracious, loving Heavenly Father.
We are so privileged to be celebrating 49 years of your faithfulness to us as your church.
Today we celebrate our past history with great joy and appreciation for the way you have led us this far.
We look forward with eager anticipation and expectant hearts
for all the plans you have in store for us as we move forward.
Thank you for all those who had the initial vision planted in their hearts
to establish a church here in Beaconsfield.
Church here in Beaconsfield.
A church here in Beaconsfield.
We acknowledge today all those who have been faithfully serving you in our community
over the past 49 years.
We take the time to remember our former and present pastors, elders, deacons,
ministry leaders and members who faithfully served us.
We are very conscious that you have brought us
through many dangers, toils and snares
to this privileged place that we find ourselves in today.
Lord, we ask you to continue to enlarge your love among us.
Enlarge your love among us.
Enlarge your love among us.
So that many more from our local community will be drawn to your cross.
Expand our vision and horizon.
Expand our vision and horizon.
Expand our vision and horizon.
With a consistent zeal for those who are lost and drifting without hope.
Make us a source of great blessing to those around us.
Encourage us to move forward in the power of your Holy Spirit.
Make us all one in Christ.
And unite us together in the bonds of unity and love.
Prepare us to be your spotless and holy bride. Amen.
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 Amen.